sing the invitational song. I want you to take your Bible. Let's stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, we're right where God wants us to be this morning. And I just want to remind him, I was eating this message and drinking this message and sleeping this message. And my goodness, man, I appreciate the Lord putting it in you like that. It ain't always that happens. I like it when it gets like that. I want you to look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse 1 through 15. Now, while you're turning, Samuel Rutherford used to say, whenever he found himself in the cellar, the low times of his life, he'd just dig and find a mine that God had left for him. One man said this, B.P. Portis, he said, next to the consolation of grace, he felt like hope was the most sovereign balm God gave to his people. The miseries of life, both in him and about the Christian, will cause him to look for and long for a glimpse of hope. I don't know for sure if somebody is in that kind of situation, but I pray that today, Lord, would just take us over here to 1 Samuel and we'd walk down through the text and unpack the luggage of life and find some truth to live on. Look with me in the text, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, that is, that were in Ziklag. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. Now, if you ain't never been there, this won't help you. But amen. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? I got to read it slow when we get here. And he answered him, look at that. It's good to talk to God, but it's so much better when he talks back. I've got to calm down and read it. Look what he said. And he answered him, pursue for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Whoa! So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. They found, here's where I'm going to get. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. He did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days. 3 nights. David said unto him, to whom? Not where. To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? He said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me 3 days agone. I fell sick. He's confessing, made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, look right here, and we burn Ziklag with fire. David cut his head off, no. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So he did. Skip to verse 19. Well, verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. I want to claim that verse for my family. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yes, let's pray. Jeremy, you pray for us. You can be seated. God, yes. Hallelujah. God, help us, Lord.
Glad, God, we no longer serve the same master that we once did. Oh, God, help us, I pray, to live for you.
Help us, Lord.
I pray you help your man to preach the word of God.
Have your way, Lord.
I pray you have your way today. In Jesus' name.
Help us preach, Lord. Amen. If the Lord would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on found in the field of the foe.
Yeah.
Look with me in chapter number 30. Now, David has been given Ziklag.
Yeah.
The Bible says that You know the back story from chapter 29 and 28. Saul has been running after David to kill him for simply serving faithfully. He conjured up things in his mind, but Saul had left the obedience of God, had rebelled and not killed the Amalekites like he was supposed to. And David had run for his life. And notice where David went. David went to the Philistines' country. He went to a place called Gath. Y'all do remember, don't you, that it was Goliath of Gath that David killed. And yet David runs to that place. And when he gets there, he finds mercy in the eyes of a king. And the Bible says that a king gave a gift called Ziklag. Now, David has been anointed king, but has not yet received a crown. I'd like to remind y'all just a little bit that God loved us and watched us and made us kings and priests. And thanks be unto God that we have a place of refuge. You see, whatever else Ziklag was, it was a resting place. It was a refuge. Oh, can I say today, everyone that's been saved, we've been given a Ziklag. We've got a king has gave us a gift, a rest, a refuge. Hey, it's better that I'm serving the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. There's six refuge cities because seven is the number of completion. And Christ is that complete refuge. He's a high priest that'll never die. I'm so glad today I found my refuge. I've been given the gift of salvation. The wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I was dead in my sins, but now I am alive in Christ. He is my ark. He's my refuge. I've got a gift. I'm a king. And a king gave a king a gift called Ziklag. Now, because of what it is, it don't surprise me, let me put it that way, that the devil, the Amalekites, the enemy, the foe, the thief, that one that seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy, don't surprise me, friend, that he want to burn it down. Oh, the devil wants to burn it down. He'd love to burn this church down. He'd love to burn your family down. Can I say today, that devil's crowd, that enemy crowd, that Amalekites, it does not say they broke out a few windows. It said they burn it. The word there meant paints a picture of being obliterated, of being nothing but ashes. The devil would love to burn your family down. Oh, listen to me, church. Hear me today. He wants to burn it down, but I got a refuge that he can't burn down. I have a rest. It'll never be taken away. But notice this. Not only did they burn Ziklag, look what they took. They burnt the place. But they took the precious things. Now David is coming back from joining. He was joining King Achish, who had gave him Ziklag. He was going to join him in a fight. And they said, well, I know you're loyal, David. But this crowd of lords, They're afraid you're going to turn on us when we get over there and face your people. And so I need you and your 600 men. You've showed me nothing but faithfulness. In fact, I know what y'all are capable of, and I've committed the keeping of my head to you. That's what he said in the previous chapters. He said, I know what kind of mighty men you have. That's why I gave you Ziklag. I know you're loyal, David. Hey, I wonder if the king that gave us the gift would see loyalty or disloyalty in our life. And while you're serving, you're going to find some people that are disbelieving. They'll reject you. They won't believe that you have sold out and surrendered to God, joined up with them. They'll believe you disloyal. And so they have traveled a long journey to join up and have been turned around to come back home only to find out just when they was just trying to be faithful, just trying to be loyal, that they come back and the refuge is burnt. Has anybody in this building felt like that lately? The devil would like you to think he's burning to the ground, but we got something better than Ziklag. I say, man, this is the type, and a type can never be the truth. The shadow is not the truth. Hey, hallelujah. Woo! Notice what he said. Brother Jeremy, you come back. Here they are, wore out. Come back, find herself burnt out. Place burned out. Everything they got burnt. Some of y'all have seen a family like that not long ago. Listen, it don't matter, friend, if you got a whirlpool or you got a rope or wash tag. It don't matter if you got a Maytag or a handheld crank washer. When it's burnt, it's burnt. Are y'all following me? Oh yeah, they come back discouraged. They've been rejected and now find out they've been mistreated. And these Amalekites have burned it to the ground. And they begin to cry. Brother Linder, they cried and they wept till they could weep no more. Verse 3. Why? Because it wasn't just a place that they tried to demolish. Not just knock a few windows out. They want to utterly ruin it. And listen, can I tell y'all something? Y'all pull in real close. He can't burn our Ziklag. And I'm going to tell you what the devil will try to do. He'll let it appear burnt to you. He'll make you think there ain't nothing good about your church and about your people and about serving God. He'll try to make you think it. Hey, and the whole time he's trying to get you to smell smoke, and all you smell is the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah, a sweet savor. But then you go looking for your youngins. Double Father's Day. And the Bible said he took his two wives. I ain't gonna get into that, but let me just say. He had two. And if you read that context, he loved them both. He had sons and daughters that the enemy had stole. David has just encountered. He used to think running from Saul was bad. But he has just now entered the worst day of his life. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can handle a lot if your kids is all right. I'm telling you from a parent's perspective. Man, if you know your youngins is right and serving God, hey, it'll be Father's Day every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, when you come back and you realize the enemy has taken them captive, and that's what the devil wants. He's after your youngins. Hey, mom and daddy, he wants to grab your youngins and take the most precious things to you away from you. David came back. Possessions carried off. Wives carried off. Brother, he gets back. He having the worst day of his life. It'd be all right. Something will work out. I got sick. It came to me when I didn't have nothing. Boy, they'll stand with me. But in the midst of their own discouragement, not even realizing what they were doing, they too turned on him and would have stoned him. I mean, Brother Jeremy, the idea about that stoning business, they literally had picked up a stone. I mean, they ready to throw them at him. You brought us down here. You said this was a refuge. We followed you. Ain't it something, instead of blaming the enemy, that they want to turn on the preacher, the man of God, the leader, the king. Am I right? That's what they're saying here. And the Bible said they would have stoned him. And so you know what he did? He just called a little revival. He said, well, he got his eyes off of what was taken and got his eyes on what the enemy could never take. He'll never take my salvation. He'll never take my shepherd. He'll never take my relationship. Hold up. Bring the ephod. Whoa! I got a relationship. I get up in the morning and strum my harp, and God shows up. Hey, I done told him when it gets rough with my enemies, he'll hear my voice in the morning. I've got a prayer time. Somebody bring that ephod over here. The Bible said, now I'm going to tell you, that ain't what we've done. I'm just going to tell you, it's a good man. Because I'd have been, get my sword. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And gave him a right to go over and kill him. That's right. Are y'all with me? But he wasn't going to do nothing without asking God. I would to God that some people in the house of God today would learn when everything falls apart. What you need to do is quit trying to make decisions. That is the worst time to make a decision when you're in that kind of mess. I tell you what you need to do. Put on the ephod. Go in there and talk to God. Lord, shall I pursue? And I like it when he talks back to you. Woo! He gave him a 3-point message. Number one, pursue. That's what he asked him. He inquired of the Lord. Said, shall I pursue? And brother, when he got the word that he shall pursue, he said, you're not only going to pursue, you're going to overtake them. And not only that, you're going to recover all. And I read the verse where he did recover all. Can I tell somebody today, the devil likes you to think he's ruined your youngins and ruined your life, and the alcohol and drugs and whiskey and women has ruined you and wrecked you. But can I tell you, just like the man laid over in the ditch, left stripped, half naked and dead, I'm glad there's a good Samaritan. Thank God that'll love you. Get down in the ditch with you. Pour in the blood and the oil and put you back on the beast and take you to the church or the inn and let folks take care of you till he comes back again. I say hallelujah. Now, I was trying to stay calm and by the of it, I got to get through this. Brother Jeremy, I've been dreaming about this. It's got to get off of me. Amen. Now think about this. He's down there, brother. And he's got a word from God. Can I just tell you, he can restore the years the canker worm destroyed. Can I tell you, I've now crossed the threshold. I've lived more for God than I did for the devil. Hallelujah. That's the best thing. I always wanted to get there. I finally got there. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. When everything looks bad, I'm going to rejoice about what the enemy can't take. And then I'm going to seek God. And when I hear His word, then I'll move out. And I'll rest and rejoice that I know He'll restore what seemingly the enemy took. So he does. David pursues. He gets down there in 200 to get weary. I mean, they done been traveling. And I'm not going to preach this today, but I just want to thank God. Some of you older people in here and some younger that may not be able to run in the fight. It is just as important to stick by the stuff. Woo! Don't worry. Yours is going to be recovered and restored too. You just stick by the stuff. It'll pay. Just stay where God puts you. David gets on the journey. Brother Jeremy, notice what happens. Verse 11. They find an Egyptian in the field of the foe. David been given a gift by a king. When David finds this Egyptian, he has been segregated, separated, sorrowful, sickly, and soon going to die. He ain't eat in 3 days and 3 nights. It looks like he's not going to see a few more days. Especially now. Here comes the king that we burn his house down. An Egyptian slave, no doubt raised as a servant, would sometimes enjoy what his master gave him to do, and sometimes be miserable. Just as you and I, when we were lost, sometimes had pleasure in sin. But all when the lights is turned out, our misery set in on us. We hated, amen. And we served the devil, probably faithful. And even though this Egyptian had stayed, had been steered by the master, when he fell sick and became of no use to the devil, are y'all following what I'm saying? The devil discarded him, put no value on him. Hey, that's what the devil's gonna do. Don't play it. He hates your guts. He hates your family. He hates preachers. He hates the Bible. Don't listen to them lies. TV shows try to paint him like a good dude, fallen angel out of hell. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, this Bible, he wants to ruin you, wreck you, destroy you. He says, verse 11, y'all look with me in the book. He is fallen. He is fallen under the weight of his own wounds. The Bible says they found him. He didn't have nothing to offer that king. But King David looked past his guilt and had grace. Don't you remember when the king came to your field? Amen. You didn't have nothing to offer. Sin had wrecked you and Satan had discarded you. And he looked past your guilt. Yes, sir. Had mercy.
Amen.
And ye have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Tells you that you followed faithfully. That prince and power of the air. But then we get down where he butts in. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Mercy kept him from giving him what the law allowed him to give him. Cut his head off. That's what the law said. Deuteronomy said, cut him off. Cut him out. Get rid of him. But hey, but thank God we're just as called. Mercy answered. I'm so glad when the law condemned me, that mercy came to convert me. And when I was dead and deserved to be damned, he delivered me. Scarcely for a righteous man one die. Peradventure for a good man, somebody even dared to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, woo, guilty. You know what he said, brother? Look what he did, brother Jeremy. Proverbs chapter number 25, verse 21 says, give ye enemy bread when he's hungry, and water when he's thirsty. James 2 says, love not just in word, but in deed. And if you see your brother naked, what good does it say, go be warmed, when it's in your power to put clothes on him? And when you see your brother hungry, it's in your power to feed him, and you don't feed him. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Faith produces faithful works. That's what the book says. Now, brother Jeremy, the Bible says that when David got at him, overwhelmed, cried to the point he can't cry no more. Church, I'm talking about refuge, burnout. Children, wives, possessions taken captive. And he finds one of the culprits. He's just experienced mayhem back at the refuge. He's experienced mutiny from his own people. And he found one of them rascals that was responsible for the mess of the worst day of his life. And you would have, and probably I would have, taken it out on him. Vengeance is mine, shall you say. That's what we'd have probably done. But thanks be unto God. Hey, a king that got a gift from another king knew what it meant to get a gift unworthily, undeserving, and he gave him a gift. Look what he said. They found an Egyptian and brought him to David. What did David do? Gave him bread. I'm glad Jesus is the bread of life. The Bible said they made him drink water. Hey, put enough salt in that bread. Are y'all with me? It'll make you want to drink some water. Yes, sir. Got him drinking water. Notice what the book says. Then they brought him a cake. Good God. Did you see that, Michael Ryden's? Not just bread and water, but brought him a cake of figs and some raisins. Now, y'all stay with me. First time figs is in the Bible. Back there, Genesis 3. They're not talking about figs as the substance, but fig leaves. That's what religion will do. He'll give you a little bit of the plant, but not the substance of it. Not the life-giving part of it. Oh, you might can cover up and hide from it. Hey, that's the first time figs mentioned. The next time, when they leave out of Egypt and go into send in the spies, and they come out, they got grapes so big you could scoop the goody out, put it on for a swimming cap. I mean, grapes hanging on a stave between two people. That's big grapes right yonder. I mean, about just sweat, knock the goody out and use one as a boat. I mean, it's big grapes here. And in their pockets is pomegranates, here it is, and figs. You know what they're bringing back? Provisions that were provided for God. Hey, by God, for their substance. You know what they brought him? They brought him dried out grapes, raisins. They brought him figs. You know what figs and grapes will do? You ain't got to do nothing.
Just let them spend time around the sun and they'll get preserved. His good God, I don't know how I stay so calm. Are y'all with me today? Woo! They brought back provisions that have been preserved, that'll bring preservation. That bread and that water and them figs and them grapes will bring life. You don't believe me? Verse 12. And gave him a cake of fish and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, the spirit came again. Ain't that what it said to him? And he had drinking no bread and drunken any water for 3 days and three nights. After the third day and third nights, provisions that produces preservation was brought to us from the resurrection.
Amen.
He died and was buried. And 3 days and three nights later, he brought out eternally. I say the payment was made and justification provided. And everybody that believes, hallelujah, can be born again. Would you let God speak to your heart today? Listen, he's found in the field of a foe. Accurately, you could say, a foe hanging out in the field of more foes. And when David came to him, notice the Egyptian couldn't go get help, but the king brought it. Is anybody getting any help in here today? Are y'all with me today? When you couldn't get to God, he came to you. You was lost, you was dead, y'all was deaf, blind. Are y'all with me? But what you couldn't do, God came to you to do it. Hey, I remember when the Holy Ghost got me lost. He was Holy Ghost enough to get me lost and Holy Ghost enough to get me saved. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for every person in this building. He don't need no help from us. Everybody say amen. We show them scriptures, we lead them, we pray with them. But I'm going to tell you, I can't save nobody. Hallelujah. But thank God, hey, he didn't form the figs out of the middle of the air. He didn't, where you think bread's made from? What God provided. Where you think water came from? God provided. Where you think grapes come from? God provided it. Hey, all David did was deliver it. I say amen. Two types there. Then notice this. David looked upon him. David looked past. You know what he was? He was a foe. But according to the text in verse 11, and they found an Egyptian. Ain't you glad, Brother Tony, when you was an enemy against God, that he found you? You weren't looking. Hey, the Bible put it like this. For when we were yet without strength, had no ability to save ourselves, was impotent, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Woo! That same text, Christ died for us. God died for us. Are y'all with me? To where God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. How we were enemies. We were a foreigner. Just like this Egyptian. We had failed. Just like this. We were forsaken. Just like this Egyptian. But where we failed, when we was a foreigner, when we fell sick, thank God we were found. The Lord came where we was. I say amen. He's still doing it. Hey, mate. Am I right? Mercy and grace. Mercy didn't kill him when Deuteronomy said he could. And grace gave him a cake. Now notice what he said. After he blessed him. After he fed him. After he watered him. Then he asked him, to whom belongest thou? And he said, I'm him. I'm guilty. I burnt your house. I'm guilty. It wasn't nothing they didn't already know. They knew he was a servant to the Amalekites. They knew that, Brother Jeremy. Oh, yes. They found an Egyptian in the field. Hey, he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me. You know what? You know what? You know what the devil will do? He'll wine you and dine you, and then he'll bind you and blind you. He'll show you the front yard with the beer bongs and the partying and the fornicating and the neon signs, but he don't show you the back one when they're vomiting, when the tombstones are put up, when they're beating their wives. They don't show you the backyard of sin, just the pretty front yard. But every sin has a backyard. And he had found out the hard way and had been left forsaken. And I like this, brother. He gave him that cake of figs. It's again mentioned here. Genesis 3, didn't get what they had. Notice this. Numbers brought back provisions provided. And right here, we see it bringing life. You know what we need to do? Matter of fact, let me say this, weary Christian. You'll get discouraged with some falling out. You'll even get discouraged with some falling back. You'll get discouraged, and you'll thank God that they did stay by the stuff. But to be honest, you're a little disappointed they ain't to fight with you. And it'll just about discourage you. It'll about make you, oh yeah. And then the crowd that's left wants to kill you. I mean, I'm telling you. And all you've tried to do is do what God anointed you to do. That's all you've done. Just do what God anointed you to do. And now your family's gone, your wife's gone, the refuge is burnt, your own people that y'all would never turn on you have begun to turn on you, and you got it. Hey, the best thing you better do is talk to the Lord about it. You better encourage yourself in the Lord. You better listen for God's voice, and when you get it, go ahead. And you know what you need to do along the way? Show grace like you were shown grace. Give out the gift like you got the gift. Share mercy. And do. I say hallelujah. David said, to whom? To whom? No longer a foreigner, no longer a stranger. You were sometimes alienated in enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now in the body of flesh hath he reconciled you through the cross. Oh yes, he's already did it. I thank God that he's done it. Hallelujah. Took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, took them out of the way, and the offenses, and nailed them to the cross. Debt's paid. We who are separated have been brought in, because he said this. He said, whom belongest thou? I know. And he went to confessing. I'm the one that burned it down. I'm the one. I was a servant. I was that crowd. And boy, I'm telling you, he's just getting everything out and open. He said, I've done it. I was part of that crowd. Took a captive. That was me. And then he put him to the test.
Yeah.
He said, will you take me down there?
Yeah.
He said, I just want to know whose side you're on now. When that crowd forsook you and I found you, when they forgot about you, when they didn't put no value on you, I'm putting value on your life. I see how much you're worth to me. Hey, I'm just asking you, do you, sir? He said, oh yes. If you'll be faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. I want to say, have y'all found God faithful? He's always been faithful. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. You know what they did? No longer do we see this man belonging to an Amalekite. We don't even see him referred to as an Egyptian. In fact, if you read the text, he took them down there, and everybody that went down and everybody that stayed by the stuff got to enjoy the spoils of the war. And y'all know he was so bad off he couldn't have fought a lick. Are y'all with me today? That's what it means to be an overcomer. But that's what it means to be more than an overcomer. We ain't even slung one blow. We ain't done a thing. But we get to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. If the crowd had done one thing, I can say this. If the whole crowd had got down there and said, David, they all drinking and partying, but we've caught them at a disadvantage. You're not going to show mercy now, are you? And it says that the only ones that escaped that day was some young men that jumped on a camel. Now, camels in the Bible is a picture of grace. You don't reckon David could have run after them? He wiped them out, brother. And the Bible said he got back everything that they had took and a spoil. Now, I want to ask you a question. Some of you that got saved later in life, has God not been better to you? And has he not returned to you? And so when that devil comes by and says, you had it off, you had it better back yonder, you laugh in his face and say, devil, you must be talking about a different life than the one I lived, because I know good and well I've got it a whole lot better than I've ever had it. I was under the wrong master, Satan, but now I'm under the right master. He's sovereign king. Hallelujah. I'm going to be loyal to him. He's promised faithfulness and loyalty to me. You know what the Egyptian said? If I got to go back and serve that devil, it'd be better off I die right now. And can I say, I ain't going to never have to serve that devil again. I say, hallelujah. I'm going with the king. I'm marching with the king. I'm watching the king. I've enjoyed being on the king's side. Now I want to ask you a question, church. Some of you may be like Eli. You was. Jacob, you come. The natural response to me for the Egyptian, after being shown so much favor, is to take him down there and to follow him the rest of the days of his life. Natural response. Before you play, I imagine that crowd that rode away on the camel's grace. It don't say this, but just knowing how he handled the Egyptian, I just wonder if they'd have got on their knees, Brother Chris, and said, David, it was me. I'm sorry. I wonder if they'd have repented, would he have gave them figs and raisins? I wonder if he'd have looked past their guilt. Why, sure, he recovered everything. They didn't kill nobody. They didn't harm nobody. Can I just say this? I just have to believe in my mind. It ain't in the Bible. It's just my opinion right here. I believe David would have had mercy because he knew what it was to get mercy. He knew what it was to get a gift when you deserve nothing but guilt. He was guilty for killing the Philistines' champion. He was guilty for taking him out. Oh, but they showed him mercy. Great God in heaven, church. Can I say today? God showed us mercy. God showed us grace. And he's been better to us than what we deserve. He found us fallen, forsaken, and in the field of the foe.